Book of Acts, chapter 19, Paul goes to Ephesus. And the first seven verses, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, and he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, What then were you baptized? Unto what then?" And that's what I've titled this word. Unto what then? Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12, a great big congregation there, about 12, you see. Funny how people look at things and really don't see anything. Now, I love this question. I like questions. I always like questions. You know, I don't know how many messages I start with questions or how many conversations I start with questions. But I live with questions because with questions I get information and I get answers. And I love this question. He said, "Unto what then were you baptized?" What were you Unto what then were you baptized? That's a great question, especially to a bunch of believers. He asked this question to believers. Now Christ makes clear in John 3 that, and this is simple. He said, "Your baptism is your birth." And he said, "That which is born of water and water, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." If you remember, he's talking to a very religious, intelligent man, Nicodemus. So your baptism, if you'll think of your baptism as your birth, whether you're born of water or whether you're born of spirit. And then he said, "Well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" These are great questions. I love questions because they challenge and they bring out and they reveal. As you know, character's not built, it's revealed. You have to have things revealed. And that's the only way you're going to get answers, is with questions. Since the fall of Adam, do you know the first thing that God, do you ever think about this? After the fall, Adam and Eve, they eat the forbidden fruit. Do you know the first thing God did was ask them a question? Not, "Hey, Adam, how are you?" You know, of course, that's a question. But he said, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" I think that's a great question. I think probably anybody I could meet that professors be there, "Where art thou?" And they said that, "Well, we were hiding," because he said, "Who told thee thou was naked?" And then to the woman, he asked her a question, "What is this that thou hast done?" So they fall, and God asks three questions. But note here, he didn't question the serpent. He said, "Because." He gets to the serpent, and he doesn't question him. He goes, "Because." You see, once you pass redemption, the phrase becomes, "Because." But because you can question for edification and a lot of other things. But once you're past that, it's like correcting a child. You reach a certain point, you don't say anything, you just take the belt off and take care of business. So we speak of Christ in us. We say that. Because he's asking these people, I said, "We've never even heard of the Holy Ghost." We speak of Christ in us and we speak of the Holy Ghost. But if the question arises, how are you going to answer? You're going to answer with words to listen or reality. Because most I found in this walk are they have words. People, but they're not. These words aren't based on reality. You remember the magicians with Moses? They could turn a rod into serpents, just like Moses could. So there's false Christ and there's Antichrist and there's false brethren, and, you know, ministers of righteousness and angels of light and all around us. And man, we've had more than our share. I mean, when I think back, Melissa and I, we were riding through town yesterday, and it was an amazing thing. Every place we went, I'd point to something. I go, you remember old so and so? You remember when we did this? I said, now, you and I, we're like old timers here. We know people that these people that I've worked with, they've never heard of. You see? We've had more than our share. But the true are few. And they're not always choir boys. They're not always what you suspect. As David, you see? David did some pretty rough things. Took care of some pretty rough business. How about Elisha? His prophet. How about calling bears out to tear, 40-something kids? Killed them. That's a man of God? Come on. I said words are reality, you see. Who'd think that... David, a child of God? He's got blood all over his head. He just took a guy's head off with a sword. He just pretended like he was crazy. He took his buddy's wife. Oh, he had his buddy killed. But you see, the difference is, they know not the Spirit. You and I are told in 1 John to what? Try what?
Try the Spirit.
Try the spirits. You can't try spirits if you don't know spirits. See, words are reality. What then were you baptized? Wait a minute, you're baptized? Well, Holy Ghost, we don't even know the Holy Ghost. Boy, you can go about any church in the land, if they'd be honest. I mean, they'll say the words. Some of them say Holy Ghost. You know, they got that way of saying it. See? There's, if you knew those that knew me, you know of, but you didn't know me, that knew my past, never believed that such a one could ever be a child of God. His brother, yeah, but not him. You see. But the Lord said, it's not what goes in. It's what comes out. And what comes out isn't always according to the so-called... I turned the fire off. Isn't always according to the so-called religious blueprint that's proposed by man, or as Jeff calls it, the template. John the Baptist, he broke the mold. Man, he was, you know, wild looking. Camel's hair and leather girdle and repent or perish and eating locusts and who knows what. He broke the mold. John the Baptist. How about John Bunyan? John Bunyan. Remember him? Man, did you ever read about John Bunyan? He can't be a preacher. He doesn't look like us. He doesn't act like us. He didn't go to the same school as us. How about John Newton? slave trader. Maybe you got to be named John. They're all named John. John the Revelator, you see. There is simply no way to state the radical nature of Jesus. I'm just speaking of a few. Think about Jesus as a man. Going in the, he's 12 years old and he's in there straightening him out in the temple. And then his parents can't find him for a couple days. I mean, he's radical. He's way out there. And then the people that he picks. Peter, a Galilean fisherman. Tax collectors. Doctor, if you know anything about that, in those days, doctors wasn't exactly like it is now. You see. So you think about all those things. He just didn't fit. And you know, if you fit, you might have a spiritual problem. You think about that. You see? I'm not talking about, you know what I'm saying. And that we're going to get to that. I can tell you the problem's there. Not fitting. Well, you don't look like a preacher. I've been told that almost 40 years. Or you don't look like a preacher. You've heard, thank God. Because I know what you think a preacher looks like. Because I've seen the picture you think the Lord looked like. And that you thought Peter looked like. And that you thought David looked like. And he didn't look like that at all. You see? What does a preacher look like? Now, a great key here is dead to sin. Dead to sin. How? And Paul always asks how. A question. How? Always. How? How shall we? How? Isn't that what you always ask kids? How did this room get like this? I don't know. How did this get broken? I don't know. How did this happen? I don't know. How'd you get that on your hands? I don't know. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? How live any longer therein? We're getting there, you see. What a great question. Hey, brother, you're dead to sin and you talk like that? You're with her? You're not married? You dead to sin? Where art thou? We're always back to the beginning. You always go to the beginning. Where art thou? What is this thou hast done? That's what you say to the kids. Well, if you go, how? Where are you? John, where are you? James, what'd you do? Right? And then, of course, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. Well, that's a start because Christ came to save sinners. That's really the best start you can have, you see. And he came to save sinners from what?
Sin.
But nobody's saved from sin. I don't get it. What's wrong with the church? Maybe they don't know into what they were baptized and have never heard there even be a Holy Ghost. And maybe they really don't want to be saved from sin. Now listen. Because those born of God do not commit sin. Did you hear that? Those born of God do not commit sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Those born of God do not commit sin. That's Bible. Oh, you're misinterpreting that. okay. You want to give me your interpretation? Those not born of God do not commit sin. Somebody want to interpret that for me? Turn over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Let's read it and you interpret it for me. Let's start down in verse 5 and read through verse 10. And you know that he, Christ, was manifested to what? Now listen to the whole genre of this passage. The whole message. He was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Oh, that's just your interpretation. What? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Wow. I guess if you're white, you're white. And if you're black, you're black. If you're male, you're male. And if you're female, you're female. Oh, that's right. They're changing that too, you see. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Even as he. In other words, he's not righteous for me. I'm not righteous because of he. Do you see that? Don't words mean things? He that doeth righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Oh, you're misinterpreting, preacher. But the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Are you born of God? Unto what then were you baptized? In this, and then he gives a summation. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. Let's see, what could all that mean? In verse 10 it says, this is how we know him. A man tells me he's a sinner and I say, you must be born again. Now this is wisdom. God gave me this wisdom this week. And I'm so grateful for it. And I go running in the kitchen. Well, not running, but fast as I go. If I say dead to sin, no explanation is needed to one that is dead to sin. Do you hear me? They go, amen. Do you see? If I say filled with the Spirit, born again, or any other such like term, you see, there's no explanation needed. For those that are such. You get that? It's very important. You see, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Neither indeed can he, because they're spiritually discerned. And all these preachers stand up, and all these street preachers, and all these religious people on YouTube and on the internet and on the sidewalks and the MacArthurs and the Washers, and they're all standing, and they're trying to break down and parse God. You see, these things are spiritually discerned. And he can't know them. I found that a man who explains those things or attempts to explain these things, now listen, he doesn't know them.
Because Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:8, how can a man be born again? Now you think about what the theologians would say. Piper, MacArthur, or I don't know, you know. Or the local Baptist preacher. Oh, well, you need to make, you say. But Jesus said, wind bloweth where it listeth. Now here's the sound thereof. Know not whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is every man born of the Spirit. What? Told you wouldn't get it. You see? That's it. There's no in between. With God, there's a before and an after. And I've never found an in between. You see? Like, it's like birth. There's no in between with birth. You're either born or you're not. You're either born again or you're not. You're either alive or you're dead. He's somewhere in between life and death. Well, where is that, sir? Where is that place? You either are or you are not. And my Bible says that his sheep know his voice. Oh, that's your interpretation. God help us. His sheep know his voice. Do you? The looks I've had over the years when I just nonchalantly, inadvertently, and I say, God told me back in, you know, in 1994, and I almost stop and I look at the faces and they're like, did he say God told him? That was from religious people. Not the guys on the street. That's from church people. People that profess. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. That's what he said. My sheep hear my voice. They know. The Bible says, they, you and I, if you're born again in spirit, they know his voice. Okay, you're a sheep. But you don't hear the shepherd? Bet you can go in a lot of churches and preach that this morning and say, sure is quiet in here. You're a sheep, but you don't know the voice of the shepherd. And then I've heard, and you'll hear this, and they'll exclaim, well, what does he sound like? Nobody's ever asked you that. Well, did he sound like, was it a voice like, was it, you see? Was it, did it sound like this? How can I tell you if you don't know? I said there's wisdom. I don't have to tell another sheep what the Lord sounds like. You see? But there's the ply, the hirelings plying their trades, their how-to religion. Well, you got to do this. And then, well, then you got to do this. That's what happened. That's what we've been preaching on the past weeks. Remember the circumcision, Acts 15? Well, you got to do this. Well, you got to do this. We got. And finally, Peter says, we couldn't do it. Why don't we make them do it? Got to do what? We've not even heard there be a Holy Ghost. You got to do this. And you got to do this. And the truth is, you don't have to do anything. Amen. You don't have to do anything. Because my Lord and my Savior did it all 2,000 years ago. And he said, it's finished. And if it's finished, you don't have to do anything. And any man tells you you do, he's trying to get you into his religion. Just listen to the shepherd. Just listen to the shepherd. And the question to you, or anyone else that can hear this, is, did he do it for you? That's the question. Did he do it for you? And if he did, how come you don't hear him? Because his sheep hear his voice. And then anyone born of God doth not commit sin. How come you don't hear him? And if he did, then what exactly are you trying to do? I'm trying to be a child of God. Well, let me know how that works out for you. Did you have to try to be a sinner? Come on. And so I close with our question where we began. Paul goes, unto what then were you baptized? You know, I feel like a lot of times, wait a minute. You're an elder and you're a deacon and you're a preacher? And you profess and you read, unto what then were you baptized? What about the Holy? Oh, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. I mean, we know there is one. Preacher talks about him. Well, that Lord I'm telling you about said he's going to leave him for you as a comforter. Didn't he? Oh, preacher, you sure misinterpret the Bible a lot. Yeah, I read it. Like the old preacher said, I'm not smart enough to know what it means, sir. I know exactly what it says. Unto what then were you baptized?